The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December is a Christmas book for children ages 5 through 9. It's titled The Christmas Connection. You can find out more about this new Christmas Arch book at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase The Christmas Connection by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Your young children, grandchildren, and godchildren will discover the relationship between Jesus' birth and resurrection in The Christmas Connection. 1-800-325-3040. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's time for This Week in Pop American Christianity. Pastor Chris Roseborough is alongside, and he has brought a sampling of prophecies, or at least they claim to be prophecies, from an online resource for people who want to hear the latest and greatest of prophecies from self-proclaimed prophets, the Elijah List. We're going to find out what it is and what they're saying there on This Week in Pop American Christianity. Pastor Chris Roseborough is a regular guest. He's pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and he's host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
So what exactly, I'm completely unfamiliar with the thing, what is the Elijah List?
Well, the Elijah List is probably the most prestigious clearinghouse for, well, apparently what God is saying today. They claim that they have been given a commission by God to give fresh daily prophetic manna from the Lord to the church. And so they collect and have a collection of prophecies from people who today who claim to be prophets. And within certain circles of the charismatic movement, this is an extremely important function and justifies their belief that in these last days, God has restored prophets to the church so that we can know what is coming. You know, we can have the inside scoop on what's just around the corner so that the church can be prepared and aligned with what God is doing in the world.
Okay, so you know, the kind of the traditional Christian approach to hearing from God is daily Bible reading, daily Bible study, perhaps something of Scripture's devotion, something along those lines. This seems to have kind of left that behind.
For many in the charismatic movement, the written word of God is considered to be kind of an old, well, revelation, that's yesterday's manna, and so they're looking for today's manna. You know, that old manna gets wormy and, you know, kind of gross, and so they don't really pay all that much attention, although they claim allegiance to and to be consistent with and in accordance with what the written word says. By mixing in these daily prophecies and literally believing that these are on par with Scripture, I mean, that's the idea, these are words from God, they end up really wandering away from what the Scriptures say altogether and really don't put a lot of value in the written word of God.
So you have a couple examples that we're going to hear from various prophets or self-proclaimed prophets. What's the first?
First one is Lana Vauser. Lana Vauser is an Elijah List prophetess from Australia. She's on the Australian Prophetic Summit, and she recently had a conversation with the Lord regarding the current season that we're entering into, and I'll just let her explain what it is.
I want to tell you a little bit about the way the Lord speaks to me. I have a very creative relationship with the Lord, I like to call it, because he likes to confirm his word to me in very fun and supernatural ways. He does that for us all, doesn't he? But for me, in the last 18 months, he's just really started to really show up in funny and joyful ways. So about a year ago, I was having some time with the Lord, and he said to me, Lana, do you know what I call this season? I said, what is that, Lord? He said, I call it the season of popcorn. I thought, oh my goodness, popcorn, why, Lord? And he said to me, in this season, my people have been sowing seeds, one after another after another. But there have been two fires that have come into the body of Christ in this season. It's been the fire of opposition that has come to try and burn away those seeds that you and I have been sowing, the seeds of declaration and obedience and faith in the promises of God. The enemy's come to try and burn those away. But in this season, the Lord has also sent His fire to come and cleanse and purify and ignite the very seeds that you've been sowing. And where there's been heat and pressure from the enemy to try and get you and to get me to back away and to give up, the Lord has come with His fire, and He's coming in increased ways to bring healing. And as His fire falls on the things you've been sowing, suddenly they begin to pop. There's one breakthrough after another, the season of absolute acceleration. And as the Lord's telling me all about this amazing season of popcorn, I get on a plane and I go to the US and I'm pondering this word, and the Lord says to me, popcorn, the aroma will draw people from near and far, and they will taste and see that I am good.
Oh, okay. and I take that with popcorn popping in the background, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. So what was she saying there?
I can try my best at interpreting what she says. I spend a lot of time researching the charismatic movement. The idea here is that in the charismatic movement, you are taught, kind of in the mode of the Word of Faith people, that you have to decree and declare blessings and favor for yourself and sow seeds of faith as well as money in order for God's best future to appear in your life. And so what she's saying, by saying that this is supposedly the season of popcorn, is that those people in the charismatic movement who are hearing her prophecy, who've sown these seeds but haven't seen any results, that they are just, those results are just around the corner. And just like popcorn suddenly goes from seed to popcorn itself, that this will happen in their lives and there will be breakthrough. If you would.
Okay, so it sounds like it's heavy on analogy, and then I'm just hearing kind of new things are going to happen, and new doors are going to swing wide open, and windows are going to pop open. I mean, the popcorn analogy seems to be real heavy on analogy, but very light on specifics about what actually is being foretold here. I could take this like an astrology or a palm reading and apply it, or a fortune cookie, and it could fit just about anything that's about to happen to me, couldn't it?
Yeah, no. And you'll notice one of the things I call these types of prophecies, I call them prophetic onesies. We remember when our kids were infants, and it would be, getting towards winter time, and we want to keep them warm. We'd buy them a onesie, so this would be, one outfit that could fit over their legs, their feet, their arms, their hands, in order to keep them warm. So these are kind of like one-size-fits-all prophetic onesies. They're so non-specific, they could apply to anyone or anything, and there's no real way to know if this prophecy has come true or not come true. If it just so happens that, maybe you get a really nice tax return from Uncle Sam and suddenly there's money in your account again, you could say, look, there's the fulfillment of the prophecy. It was the season of popcorn, just like Lana Vosser said.
Now, this notion of seasons, before we take our break, I'd like you to explain that a little bit, because the prophetic view, the charismatic view, Pop American Christianity is full of this notion of God has His seasons. What is that?
Well, it kind of like we have our four seasons, summer, spring, winter, fall. Apparently, we're in a particular season, and oftentimes they'll try to relate the seasons to the Jewish calendar or the Jewish year or whatever's going on in that sense. But, so this could be a season of harvest, or this can be a season of sowing. This could be a season of reaping. This could be all kinds of, so they keep talking in these ways. And they'll say that we're currently in this season, but just around the corner is this next season. And so we need to prepare for the next season that God is saying. And they're very oftentimes just as, well, non-specific as this popcorn prophecy is, because, you know, if they were to actually give very specific details and say, listen, God's actually going to do this, that, or the other thing, and he's going to do it by next February, then they run the risk of becoming a false prophet. But in this sense, they always, what they're basically doing is causing people to rely on them, you know, much the way, you know, a palm reader or a psychic or somebody who's into the tarot cards will cause their customers to really depend upon them for, you know, whatever the next decisions are that they need to make in their life. And you need to check with the psychic to see if this is a good time for, you know, starting a new relationship or looking for a new job or something like that. That's oftentimes the function that these so-called prophets and prophetesses take in people's lives.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're hearing a sampling of the prophets on the Elijah list. She didn't actually say anything. I wonder, on the other side of the break, does that mean that she can say, well, I'm not a false prophet. I didn't actually promise you anything specific. And then we'll hear some more examples. Stay tuned.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
Come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one's study and sit down and talk for a while. To answer questions, to, you know, help them to get a sense of, A, you know, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess? And then B, is this the right place? And, well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu.
Are you tired of working nights, weekends, and odd hours trying to cover your bases at home just to make ends meet? At the Cleaning Authority, we call that the multi-job shuffle, and we want to end that for you right now. We'll train you in our proven, efficient cleaning methods, and you'll be partnered to work in pre-qualified homes. Call 314-416-8117 and walk away from the multi-job shuffle with a future in our St. Louis office, 314-416-8117.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Henderson, Nevada. Faith Lutheran, Orange City, Iowa. Bethany Lutheran, Fairview Heights, Illinois. Bethlehem Lutheran, North Zulch, Texas. Risen Christ Lutheran, Arvada, Colorado. Trinity Lutheran and Grace Lutheran, Wichita, Kansas. Emmanuel Lutheran, Perryville, Missouri. Risen Savior Lutheran, Basar, Kansas. St. John Lutheran, Champaign, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran, Auburn, Nebraska. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Columbia, South Carolina, Grace Lutheran, Elgin, Texas, Gethsemane Lutheran, Marion, Ohio, and St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes a congregational sponsor, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest of Fighting for the Faith. It's this week in Pop American Christianity. We're getting a sampling of some of the prophets from the prophets on the Elijah's list. Chris, one thing before we go, we heard the popcorn prophecy before the break, and it was, like so many of these, so nonspecific that you said they can kind of try to weasel out of the notion that I'm a false prophet because there's nothing to prove or disprove. There's nothing predicted where you could measure whether or not this prophecy was true or false. But does that let them go scot-free? Is that a get-out-of-jail-free card for false prophecy?
No, it's really not. And the reason why is because there's a couple of tests given in the Old Testament regarding whether or not somebody's a true prophet or a false prophet. And the first test has to do with if they proclaim that something's going to happen and it doesn't come to pass, well, that makes them a false prophet. The other test, though, is one of theology. And Scripture in Deuteronomy 13 makes it clear that if somebody's prophecy actually comes true, but they're having you follow after a different God, and so this is going to be a theological test, then they are still considered to be a false prophet. So the idea here is that when somebody, you know, claims to be a prophet and they can't, you can't actually pin them down and say, no, you've made a false prophecy. They'll say, no, I actually never prophesied anything specific, which is kind of funny. You can always do an audit of their theology. What are they believing, teaching? How are they handling God's word? And look at their practices. If their practices and theology are contrary to Scripture or filled with false doctrine and false teaching, I always like to point out, well, if you're hearing from God, how come He isn't telling you to repent? Because you know you're clearly opposing what the written Word of God says regarding the command to rightly handle God's Word and to teach what's in accord with sound doctrine. You're not doing that, so I'm pretty sure if you were actually hearing from God, the Holy Spirit, the first thing He would tell you is you need to knock this off and repent. And they don't really have a comeback for that.
You've brought another example of what we might hear on the Elijah list.
Yes, we're going to be hearing from Ryan LaStrange. Ryan LaStrange is a regular on the Elijah list. Every Monday, he gets a prophetic word from God, videotapes himself in his home, posts it on YouTube, and the Elijah list is always very happy to pass along Ryan LaStrange's very strange so-called prophecies.
Hi, Ryan LaStrange with today's Monday Word, and my Monday Word is, where are the Samuels? I believe the Lord is raising up a prophetic generation of Samuels. Samuel is a fascinating character in Bible history. We see in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, it says, now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent. So Samuel was born at a time when there was a lack of prophetic revelation. There was an absence. There was a vacancy. There was a void of authentic prophetic anointing and prophetic revelation. And God brought Samuel on the scene. And Samuel raised up the schools of the prophets. And Samuel began to mentor a generation. And Samuel was a shifter. I'm hearing in my spirit that the Lord is raising up a generation of Samuels. The Lord is raising up a prophetic generation of shifters. You are not called to comply with the atmosphere. You're called to shift it. You are not called to adjust to the spiritual thermometer. You're called to shift it. You're not called to just be subdued by culture. You're called to shift it. I believe there's a prophetic deposit of the forerunner being placed upon this Samuel generation that is arising. It was Samuel that God used to anoint the future king of Israel. And it was Samuel that God spoke to when Saul had disobeyed the commandment of the Lord, that he was removing him. It was Samuel that issued a prophetic warning. It was Samuel that mantled a generation. It was Samuel that went to the house of Jesse and anointed David. In fact, Samuel anointed what Jesse was overlooking. I believe that God is saying in this hour, where are the Samuels? He's raising people up, uncommon prophetic people with an uncommon ability to shift a generation. I believe the Lord is raising up the shifters in this hour. Many of you are feeling the tension between where you are and where God is taking you. I say, Lord, raise up the Samuels.
Okay, there's a lot of rapid-fire kind of this is what Samuel, God did with the biblical Samuel. Did he make the case that God's making a generation of Samuels?
No, and I'm not even sure what an atmospheric shifter is. You know, I don't know what the cash value is of the statement that I'm not supposed to submit to the atmosphere, but I'm supposed to shift it. I mean, how does one shift an atmosphere? And what exactly is an atmosphere in this context? I mean, what I find fascinating is you hear words, you hear sentences. There's actual nouns, there's verbs, there's a direct object and subordinate clauses within those sentences. But the sentences make about as much sense as this sentence. Blue sleeps faster than Tuesday. Now, that's a grammatically solid sentence, but it doesn't mean anything. And in the same way, Ryan LaStrange is basically spinning out a bunch of grammatically, well, correct sentences, but the words, the nouns, the verbs, none of that actually makes any lucid sense, any more sense than blue sleeps faster than Tuesday. I feel like I could have got this from Lewis Carroll's poem where he talks about the walrus and the carpenter, you know, Kalu Kale, come run away, we're cabbages and kings. But this is just nonsense. It doesn't, not only can you not prove if he's a true prophet or a false prophet with this, but I can't even tell if he actually has a proper command of the English language and the fact that, you know, sentences are actually supposed to convey ideas that make sense in the real world. I wouldn't know how to apply any of what it is that he said.
Now, there's another kind of general feature that I've noticed here, and tell me if it's common. Part of, I think, the sales pitch of a lot of this prophecy is that either you individually or we as the current Christian generation are living at some sort of pivotal time for God's activities, getting ready to do something with us. He's getting ready to do something that we've never seen before. I hear that theme a lot. It was in the popcorn prophecy, and it's in this kind of Samuel, stream of consciousness.
Yeah, there's always this sense, and I spent some time in the charismatic movement back in the late 80s, and the what I heard as so-called prophecies when I was in it, it's the same kind of thing. It always creates this sense of anticipation that the next big thing is just around the corner. Just stay with it. Don't leave. Keep tithing, because you don't want to miss the next big wave. It's almost like it's a form of marketing that keeps people psychologically hooked in and feeling like they can't leave, because if they leave, then they'll miss the next thing that's just around the corner, because everybody's always talking like this. The next big shift, the next big wave, the next big whatever is coming. The prophetic, and you know, it's kind of like going to the movies and getting a preview of the movies that are going to be coming out next, and you know, so you can, you know, you get a sense of anticipation and desire to see that thing. I oftentimes feel like prophecies in the charismatic movement serve that same function, to kind of psychologically keep people on their seats waiting for the next thing that never really does ever seem to appear.
Well, I've noticed not only in those who claim to be delivering a prophetic word from the Lord, I've noticed it in the course of this series with you, from an awful lot of just the regular old teachers and preachers. It's usually put in the context of their own congregation. You know, here at Hillsong, I've gotten a word from the Lord that he's about to do something, and that something great, this next year is going to be the whatever year. There's all this kind of, to me, it either sounds like hype, and often it's so far oversold that I don't know how the average church member in those churches deals with the constant disappointment of expecting something huge to happen, and then, oh, okay, it's just another fundraiser. Sorry, I got my hopes up.
Yeah, what I find fascinating is a lot of people don't talk about it, but in many of the megachurches in evangelicalism, the back door is as busy as the front door. And that's kind of like the dirty little secret that nobody tells you, that, you know, this church is growing at 11%, but they're, you know, per year, but they're also losing 7%, you know, at the same rate. And so in order to keep growing, they've got to be growing at 18% in order to keep ahead of the loss that they're experiencing. And over and again, I think a lot of that has to do with the just the shallow messages, but also the constant hype that, you know, that they're constantly being marketed to. You know, one of the wonderful things about being a confessional Lutheran is that in the liturgy we're not being marketed to. So, you know, we're being cared for by Christ through his gifts, word, and sacrament. And so that's a completely different paradigm.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest this Thursday afternoon, December the 8th, here on Issues Etc., our series This Week in Pop American Christianity. When we come back, one more example of the so-called prophetic voices on the Elijah List. Christmas is a holy day, not just an ordinary holiday. It's when we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's why Emmanuel Press keeps Jesus as the focus of all their Christmas cards. And that's why they use the words of Scripture and the poetry of hymns inside the cards to confess our hope in Christ. Visit their website at emmanuelpress.us to see a variety of cards, including a brand new card for 2016. EMMANUELPress.us.
Hi, I'm Pastor Palmer from Catalina Lutheran Church in sunny Tucson, Arizona. We're a confessional, liturgical, hymn-singing, Bible-teaching, gospel-preaching congregation, and we would love to share God's good gifts of word and sacrament with you. Look us up online at catalinalutheran.org or give us a call at 520-825-9255. God be with you.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Reformation approaches. A good time to ask, who are we as confessional Lutherans? What's our heritage? The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission has produced the Layman's Guide to Theological History. Go to the CLCC.org and see which of these presentations and books would be most helpful to you and your fellow parishioners. And consider becoming a member with us as the CLCC seeks to help more people know what it means to be a confessional Lutheran. The CLCC.org.
Please consider the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. when you think about your year-end giving. With 1 month left in 2016, we're approximately $78,000 short of expenses. You can make a secure online gift at issuesetc.org. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible donation by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of the year. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity here on Issues Etc. We're getting a sampling of the prophets from the Elijah List. Pastor Chris Roseborough, Fighting for the Faith, is our guest. Chris, another example that you've brought for us. Who is this and what should we be listening for here?
Jennifer LeClaire is next, and Jennifer LeClaire claims that she has received a direct revelation from the Lord. She's written it down word for word. She's going to be exegeting it. And this has to do with the angels of abundant harvest, and apparently she's decided this is such an important word that she's written a book, and the Charisma Magazine publishing house is rushing to get this out so that we can figure out how to apply this word to our lives. I'll let her explain.
Hi, it's Jennifer LeClaire, senior editor of Charisma Magazine, director of the Awakening House of Prayer in South Florida, and author of the upcoming book, Releasing the Angels of Abundant Harvest. There is an abundant harvest at hand, and God is releasing his angels to help bring in the harvest. Let me read you the word. An abundant harvest is at hand, says the Lord. I am releasing angels of abundant harvest into the nation. You will reap what you've sown. This is a double-edged sword. Where the enemy has resisted your harvest in years past, you will see a multiplication effect of blessing in your life. Doors will open unto you that no man can open. Opportunities will come your way that you never dreamed, imagined, or even thought to ask for. Provision will enter your life from unexpected places. If you have sown to the Spirit, says the Lord, you will reap from the Spirit. If you have sown into my kingdom business, you will see a return on the investment of your time, your finances, and your relationships. Reinforcement will come to support the work of your hand. You will find lack is no longer in your language. You will see blessings chase you down and overtake you. You will find that I am leading you and guiding you with greater precision, says the Lord. You will hear my voice and dream my dreams and see my visions. You will rest in me and have confidence and faith in me that defies the enemy's plans for your life. This is a year of abundant harvest. I'm going to stop there. I've written a book. Charisma House is putting the final touches on it, getting it off to the printer, rushing it to the printer right now, where I have broken down the principles of this prophetic word that we might apply them to our life. See, many times we get prophetic words and we get a goosebump. We call three people. We jump up and down and get excited. But then we put it in a drawer. We hear it. It bears witness. We judge it as true. But then we set it aside and we don't do anything about it. We have to cooperate with God. We have to do our part. We have to position ourselves rightly. And so the book that I've put out, Releasing the Angels of Abundant Harvest, will equip you to break this down and apply these things to your life.
Okay, I got a couple questions, because she had it all. She had the vagary of the popcorn prophecy. She had the hype and the overselling of, what was that, the Samuel generation, I think, the last one. She also has a book. Now, should the book that she's writing, if she's consistent, be put in the Bible section of the Christian bookstore?
Well, you notice that she said, you know, that she literally talked about the word of the Lord that she was giving. She talked about it in terms as if it's on par with Scripture. So I would say, well, at least for next year, you probably should, you know, tack it into the back of your Bible, because it sounds like it's one of those words that's only good for 2017, the year of the abundant harvest angels. And so, I mean, if you want blessings to, you know, hunt you down and overtake you, you have to position yourself properly. And the only way that you can know how to position yourself properly would be as if, well, you have to buy her book, and so that you can apply the right positioning technique so that abundant harvest angels can overtake you and bless the socks off of you. And if you don't, well, then, you know, you're kind of out of in the cold, and you won't be able to experience the abundant harvest angel blessing thingy for 2017. I can't believe people actually think this is real and buy these people's books. That's the best I could put it.
Pastor Chris Rosebrough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota. He hosts a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. You can listen to Chris and Fighting for the Faith right after the live broadcast of Issues, Etc., about an hour from now at piratechristian.com, piratechristian.com. Chris, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
Jennifer Law is going to join us in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. You might have read about this lawsuit between Sofia Vergara. She's from, Modern Family television star. She has frozen embryos with her ex-boyfriend or husband, I can't remember which one it is, and she wants them destroyed. He wants them preserved. We don't know what he wants to do with them. There's a lawsuit on behalf of these frozen embryos. Jennifer Law will tell us about it and the ethics of in vitro fertilization. She was actually predicting this kind of thing in conversations here on Issues, Etc., a decade or more ago. We'll find out how she knew it was going to happen. Then Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will join us. Our series, Christ in the Old Testament Today, Psalm 146, from whence we have those often quoted words, put not your trust in princes. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
I'm talking with regular guest Dr. Ken Sherb about a new book by one of his former professors. Which one, Ken?
The late Dr. Kurt Marquardt, and the book is The Saving Truth, Doctrine for Lay People.
You edited this book.
Yeah, the unpublished manuscript was among Marquardt's papers, and it is vintage Marquardt, lively, engaging, centering in the Christ who saves, with an apologetics chapter at the end.
You can find out more about Saving Truth, Doctrine for Lay People at lutheracademy.com.
St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Wildwood, Missouri is a proud sponsor of Issues Etc. And if you enjoy the relevant, Christ-centered teachings presented on this program, then you should come and join us at St. Paul's on Sundays at 9 a.m., where you will hear sermons that proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified for our sins, and enjoy in-depth Bible studies to help us grow as disciples. For more information, check us out at stpaullutheranwildwood.org.